Help all kids learn and grow with PBS Kids. Thank you for supporting your PBS station.
It's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow. A reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book.
That one almost got me. I'm avoiding the waves today because it's still early spring here and the water's just a little bit cold. But I love coming down to the ocean's edge and watching the surf. Today here on Long Beach, the waves are not too big and they're not too little either. In fact, they're just about right. But on beaches all over the world, waves can be totally different. Everyone is fascinated by the energy and rhythm of waves. But when you're a surfer, you actually get on top of a wave and ride it, as best as you're able, back toward the beach. Surfers straddle their boards and paddle out beyond the breakers, always in search of a ride on that perfect wave. Well, fellas, are you ready?
Yeah.
I think the surf is up.
Let's go.
Let's go surfing.
Let's go surfing.
Catch a really good wave is, I don't think there's anything that really compares to it. I've been surfing for 16 years, since I was 12.
I can't compare it to anything.
Know that waves are a little bit like people. Each one has its own unique personality. And whether they're big and powerful or mellow and smooth, one thing is for certain, waves are definitely unpredictable. That's why the boy in this book gets into a wave and ends up a little bit over his head. It's called My Life with the Wave.
My Life with the Wave. Based on the story by Octavio Paz. Translated and adapted for children by Catherine Cowan. Illustrated by Mark Buhner. narrated by Scott Irby Rooney. My first trip to the seashore, I fell in love with the waves. And just as we were about to leave, one wave tore away from the sea. When the others tried to stop her by clutching at her floating skirts, she caught my hand and we raced away together across the wrinkled sand. My father tried to send her back, but the wave cried and begged and threatened until they agreed that she could come along. The next morning, we went to the station and boarded the train. The wave was tall and fair and full of light. She was bound to attract attention. If there was a rule forbidding waves from traveling by train, the conductor might throw her off. So cup by small cup, when no one was looking, I emptied the water cooler, and she hid herself inside it. When we arrived home, the wave rushed into our house. Before she'd been one wave, now she was many. She flooded our rooms with light and air, driving away the shadows with her blue and green reflections. The whole house shone with her laughter. Her smile was everywhere. The sun came into our old dark rooms and stayed for hours and hours. It loved dancing with the wave in me so much that it sometimes forgot to leave. The wave and I played together constantly. If I caught and hugged her, she would raise up tall like a liquid tree, then burst into a shower and bathe me in her foam. If I ran at her and she stood still, I'd find myself wrapped in her arms. At night, we lay side by side, whispering secrets with smiles and smothered laughter. She rocked me to sleep in her waters and sang sweet sea songs into the shell of my ear. Sometimes in the dark, she shimmered like a rainbow. Other nights, she was black and bitter. Cloudy days enraged the wave. She smashed my model train, soaked my stamp collection, covered my room in her gray and greenish foam. She was pulled by the moon, the sun, and the stars. Her moods were as changeable as a tide. I thought she might be lonely and gave her seashells and a tiny sailboat to play with. After she smashed these against the wall, I brought home small fish for her. She swept them into her arms and whispered and played with them by the hour. Finally, I grew angry. Now the wave spent all her time playing with the fish and never played with me. I tried to catch them, but they darted like ghosts between my fingers, while the wave poured over me in foaming laughter. With the coming of winter, the wave had nightmares. She filled the house with phantoms and called up monsters from the deep. My father said she would have to go. The wave was making us all crazy. Since I could never catch the wave, we packed up and went away for a time, leaving her behind in the cold. When we returned, we found the wave frozen, a beautiful statue of ice. Though it broke my heart, I helped my father wrap her in a quilt, and we carried her back to the sea. Now the house is dark again, and the corners are filled with dusk and shadows. Sometimes I remember. My parents say, "Good riddance to bad waves," and I'm never to bring home another. But I miss my friend. Maybe next year, if you go to the mountains, I'll bring home a cloud. Clouds are soft and cuddly and would never act like a wave.
Thank you.
I guess some things are best left where they belong. Waves belong in the ocean, not in the living room. But isn't it really cool to imagine what it might be like to bring home something totally outrageous? What would you bring home that's absolutely crazy?
If I had to bring something home really, really outrageous, well, it's hard to decide. It'd be either a giraffe or a roller coaster. I really love to go fast, so with a roller coaster, I could go as fast as I wanted. If I had some ice cream and some milk, I could go on a roller coaster, and at the end of the ride, I'd have a milkshake. If I brought home a roller coaster, I'd always have something fun to do. I could go like up or down or like really, really fast, like.
If I could bring home anything in the world, it would be a cloud. It's soft and fluffy, and whenever I'm tired, I can just sit on it, and it will take me wherever I want it to go. If I want to play hide and seek, I can just go right into the cloud, and my sister Molly would never find me. I could play guessing games with the cloud. I could lay in my bed, and the cloud could go up to the ceiling and form different shapes, and I could guess what they are. I could have my friends over and play a game. Whoever guesses the most shapes of the cloud wins.
If I could bring home anything totally outrageous, I would bring home an elephant. I'd like to bring home an elephant because when I think of an elephant, it's usually big and heavy and has huge floppy ears and a long, long trunk. Since elephants can spray water with their trunks, I could use it as a sort of elephant sprinkler. Could you imagine giving an elephant a manicure? I could buy pretty big bottles of nail polish and paint its toenails weekly. The more I think about it, it'd be really cool to have an elephant at home.
Great ideas. But you know, in real life, we humans actually do care for some pretty spectacular and unexpected creatures, especially those who have gotten into trouble.
These friendly, funny-faced manatees are too big to fit into the bathtub and wouldn't be a bit happy on the couch. So park ranger Betsy Durth and veterinarian Mark Lau take care of injured manatees in the quiet waters of Homosassa Springs.
And these marks on Amanda's back, they kind of look like scars.
That's right, LeVar, they are.
At times, their curiosity has gotten them into trouble, getting entangled in crab trap lines and also getting too near boats and getting injured from the boat propellers.
From propellers.
And that's one of the major causes of manatee injuries is boating.
They get too close to these boats and their propellers cut into their skin.
Right. Mm-hmm. You can see the several lines in a row there.
Right.
These scars right here, she got being hit by a boat, and those scars she'll have the rest of her life. All these white marks right here are the scars.
Now, Betsy, what's on the menu today? What are we feeding these manatees?
Okay, these biscuits right here are monkey biscuits. These are vitamin mineral biscuits. We give them lettuce, cabbage, and carrots here.
They're vegetarians.
They are vegetarians, right? Out in the wild, of course, they don't get lettuce. They eat the hydrilla grass and hyacinths that grow out in the river. They like to eat. They can spend most of their day eating, sleeping, and playing.
Not a bad way to live, huh?
Right.
Eat, sleep, and play all day. So let's talk about where the manatee come from, Dr. Mark. They're descended from which animal, do we think?
We think they're descended from the elephant.
Uh-huh.
It's their closest relative on land. And they have a upper lip that's very similar to an elephant's trunk. It's called prehensile, meaning that it will grab. And here we go with one reaching and grabbing.
Yeah.
You see how they're reaching with that? Just very similar to an elephant would reach and grab something.
With the end of his trunk.
Right.
He has that they're like almost fingers, sort of.
Right.
Yeah. And then, of course, the flippers and the nails on the flippers.
Right.
They look like elephant's toes,
right.
Don't they?
Right. The very small nails, very similar to the elephant's.
I just love the way their skin feels, don't you?
Isn't that neat? And they do have sparse body hairs that are very difficult to see, but Along their back, you'll see some very fine hairs.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things that makes them a mammal.
His body hair.
Okay. Right.
Now, manatees hold their breath like we do, don't they?
Right. Just as they go underwater, you will notice there's a little valve on the nostril that closes.
Uh-huh.
And this is keeps the water out of their nose. They breathe about every 3 to 5 minutes on the average.
Oh, yeah. There he is breathing. And then he goes back down again. Now, their tails are really huge and flat, almost like a beaver's tail.
Right. They use this tail to propel themselves through the water. Especially when you're looking at a 2,000-pound manatee, they need a large tail to push them through the water.
About how many manatees are left, Dr. Mark?
The latest figure we had was around 1,450-some manatees in Florida.
Uh-huh. That's not an awful lot, is it?
Not very many.
You know, Dr. Mark, they're really gentle creatures. That's, I think, the most amazing thing for an animal this size. They seem to be just so gentle and loving.
Call them gentle giants.
Gentle giants is exactly what they are.
When a manatee playfully tumbles in the water, it's a sign he's healthy again. That's when he's ready to return to the wild.
The ocean is home to many living things that need our care. But beyond the waves and beneath the surface of warm ocean waters live the creatures of the coral reefs.
Beautiful fish, magnificent corals, and sponges all live beneath the waves like an underwater garden. Harold Hudson and Paige are two scientists who are helping to save the coral reefs when they are damaged by ships which come too close.
When most people dive to the coral reefs, they come to enjoy the beauty. My assistant Paige and I are here on business. We're looking for a coral that we can move or transplant to another location where the natural beauty has been damaged or destroyed. Elkhorn coral grows easily and quickly. I think this piece will do nicely. People call me the reef doctor because I help to heal the reef by mending broken corals, treating the corals that are sick, and transplanting new corals to damaged reefs. First, we'll measure the coral so we can track its growth at the new site. Paige records its measurements and takes notes on a waterproof pad with a waterproof pencil. Next, we very carefully remove the coral, chiseling away at the base, not harming the live coral on top. Because living coral tissue can be injured by too much handling or even touching it, it is a good rule to look and not touch, unless, like the reef doctor, you have to in order to do your work. Besides the Elkhorn, we removed two other corals for transplant, Brain and Staghorn. The coral is so fragile it could easily break, so handing it up to Elizabeth on deck is the most dangerous part of the transplant process. Since coral can't live outside its natural environment, we carefully place it in seawater for the time it's above the surface.
Oh boy, those really do look nice.
Oh, these are beauties.
They are.
Now remember, the living surface is just this very thin skin that you see. Everything underneath is stone.
Or like his skeleton.
Right, that he's left behind as he continues to grow.
We have a nice base on this one too.
Oh, we have a beautiful base for transplanting. This is the area where we're going to place the transplant. A large freighter went off its course here into the shallow water and completely destroyed the coral. That's why it's so flat, barren, and lifeless. This coral will be its first new inhabitant. renewing the cycle of life. We need a good stable rock to anchor the coral to, so we'll chisel this one down to make a good foundation. I'll check the rock to make sure the coral fits. Then, when I know it's right, I send Paige up for one ball of the special cement Elizabeth is mixing on the boat. Cement is made especially to work underwater, but it hardens very quickly. We've got to get it in place right away. It's made of a fine powder that sheds easily. As you can imagine, this makes it quite difficult to work with. Once the cement is in place, we fit the coral onto the rock and press with all our strength. After we're certain it's attached, we know our job is done. Now it's up to nature to take its course. In time, this coral will help bring life back to a part of the reef that would have been lost for centuries.
There's only one thing I like better than relaxing by the surf, and that's relaxing by the surf with one of my favorite books. So, if you're feeling a wave of affection for some reading perfection, then here are three books you might want to enjoy. But you don't have to take my word for it.
Hello, kids. I'm Takiya. I just read a beautiful book, and it's all about water. The name of the book is Water Dance. Each page shows water in a different way. Spiraling, plunging. It's a waterfall. Rain falling from the sky. Water is always moving. Look, a mountain stream. Still and deep. It's a lake. Look at the yellow moon over the sea. Isn't it beautiful? I absolutely want all you kids to read this gorgeous book. Remember the title, Water Dance.
Hi, I'm Alex. Have you ever been to a stream, a pond? How about the ocean? Well, you can visit these places in this book, Our Wet World. There's water everywhere in our world. There are streams and rivers, and ponds and lakes, and many other water ecosystems. Water is a place for some animals to live. Do you see the fish in this lake? Many sharks live in the water, too. Water, water, it's everywhere. The whole world's a watery place. You want to find out more? Read Our Wet World.
Did you ever think there was life under the sea?
Well, there is. It's all beautifully shown in a book called Here is the Coral Reef. There are so many beautiful and strange creatures under the sea. Ooh, look at the parrotfish. A big, beautiful cod. A giant sponge. I wonder what it feels like. The water is a home for many animals. Look at this giant ray. And this mean-looking shark. I'm Jabril Champion. Next time I go to the beach, I'll be thinking of all the beautiful creatures under the sea in this book called Here's the Coral Reef.
Down where the water breaks is where I cook up some of my best ideas. So right now, I'm going to share with you one of my favorite beach recipes. All you need is a bucket, a shovel, and you're in business. But first, you grab some sand, put it in your bucket, and then you go out and grab a piece of wave. Always make sure you have a little bit more wave in your bucket than sand. The rest is a piece of cake. You grab handfuls of sand, and then you just sort of dribble it into these piles like you see here. Not only looks great, but it feels terrific between your fingers, too. One word of advice. Try not to build your castle too close to the water's edge. Or some naughty wave just might come and wash it all away. I'll see you next time.
Today's Reading Rainbow books are My Life with the Wave by Katherine Cohen, based on a story by Octavio Paz, illustrated by Mark Beener, published by Lothrop, Lee & Shepherd Books, a division of William Morrow & Company. Water Dance by Thomas Locker, illustrated by Thomas Locker, published by Harcourt, Brace & Company. Our Wet World by Sneed B. Collard III, illustrated by James M. Needham, published by Charles Bridge. Here is the Coral Reef by Madeline Dunphy, illustrated by Tom Leonard, published by Hyperion Books for Children.